I mean, there are 1,000 pages biography, you know. But what you learn about Russia.
So am I, my husband is at home.
Well, that does help. Yeah, they're pieces, but now we're working on it.
Okay. Well, let's start with how, I think you told me your family came up here. Let's sort of start back with how you first were up in this neighborhood and then what led to the development of Madeline Canoe.
I first came up here to ski. I grew up outside of Boston, and we spent weekends up in the area skiing. Had originally gotten a house and bought in with Glen Ellen. So had worked with Walt Elliott, and my parents had season passes, and it turned out that the kids had season passes until they were 16, which meant that I had to start either teaching skiing or ski patrolling or whatever afterwards. I started teaching, and then through college would come up weekends and teach skiing occasionally. Then, so it was after I got married that we looked for land for a ski house. And again, we're attracted to the Mad River Valley, had spent a lot of time here. Decided that it was a good place to put a second home. Eventually ended up working outside New York City and decided this really wasn't our lifestyle. We took off for the West and traveled for a while. And when we came back, ended up here for a temporary basis, we thought at first, while we'd get settled to look for jobs. And then ended up, because of an accident with a horse and a car, ended up staying up here for an extended period of time. Meanwhile, my husband had designed a canoe and a kayak, which we'd used throughout our Western trip, and we'd gone off to race, and people were asking about the boat. So this kind of became the fallback thing that you could do. So I guess Jim started making boats while I got a job as a computer programmer for the state of Vermont. And we started the business.
It always amazes me, the element of chance. Let me get you to talk a little bit more about how the business took off and when you knew it was going to take off and how it really got going.
I think you're right. It's the element of chance. What really started it was we went over to the Open Canoe National Championships, which were being held in Maine that year, 1971. And Jim won the downriver class in this first boat that he designed, the Malisite. Sports Illustrated happened to be there and picked it up and put it in their Faces in the Crowd session. People called and wanted to buy a boat. And so he decided that he'd built the boats originally. He'd built a mold. He'd set it up with the back of his mind that he could always build and design canoes. But we really hadn't thought of starting a small business. My field was oceanography, geology. We were looking towards Forest Service jobs or something like that. And then as there began to be a demand for the boats, we decided, no, we'd stay around here. And I looked for a job with the state. So the business grew slowly, kind of from the one at a time stage till when we really decided to go for a business plan and some SBA money and make it really into a small business.
How long did it really, was that a 5-year period or when did you decide that you would quit the computer business and develop your own business?
I think that's got a personal side to it, too. It had to do with we had both our children while I was working at the state, and then I wanted to spend more time at home with the kids, so we put the office in the downstairs of the house, and I could have a playpen there and handle the office part of it while he had the shop close beside the house, too. That was probably 1974-75. And then we moved for a year to Waterbury, while we looked for a more permanent home, and actually then worked with Dick Brothers and Mad River Green to erect the building where we are now. Our manufacturing building was put up in 1976. And we rented it originally for a while, and then we've added on 3 or 4 times since then.
Yeah, because I remember you were on the other side of the road for a while, weren't you?
We were upstairs above Bisbee's first. And that was right above the bakery. So talk about the smell of fiberglass mixing with cheesecake. That was pretty interesting. We really had to move from that one. And being right upstairs in the middle of a shopping center was not the right kind of a place to manufacture boats. So we were in Waterbury, I think, for just about a year. Ben is a good name. Mad River Canoe sounds. Trim Canes for the Board of American Rivers, which is our nationwide conservation group that really deals with rivers and what's happening with water qualities throughout the country. From a business perspective, I think bottled water is a good place to be. And the opportunity to have something in town, the opportunity to get town water. We exist in a manufacturing company that sprinkles its building from a pond up on the hill behind us in true Vermont fashion when you have to improvise, because we don't have any sort of a town water system. So I think this is a tremendous opportunity for Waitsfield.
What do you see is the problem with it? What is preventing it from happening? Or what are the attitudes that are preventing it from happening?
Somehow everybody seems to want to find fault with whatever another person wants to do. I mean, we tried to expand Mad River Canoe and just ended up with adjacent landowners or other people fighting about it for really some of the strangest reasons. And I mean, they built their houses there after we'd started the business, after there'd been a canoe manufacturing plant, and then to say you don't like it and you don't want it to get bigger and you don't want any traffic on the road, it's kind of hard. This seems to be an issue over traffic in a lot of ways. And I think we've got to somewhere understand that we are going to have to develop. Let's be careful with it. And I guess I go along more with the idea of a controlled development rather than use by right. But I certainly think that we'd be stupid to not encourage this kind of development. It's the right kind of thing for our type of environment here.
Let me give you the opportunity to say anything you want to say about, you know, what you think is the neatest thing or the best thing about your company, or, you know, get in a pitch for it in any way you want.
You know what I think is the neatest thing about our company is that it's a real team effort. Everybody that's there really participates. We have a lot of ideas that are generated by the people on the floor. They have their standards of what they want to do, and they feel very comfortable about coming to anybody and saying, what if we changed this? What if we did that? And I had some dealers in this spring, and they came to me and said, I don't know if you'll think this is a compliment or not, but I just wanted to tell you that this was a really interesting place to visit, and we thought it was so wonderful. I mean, you're not Mad River Canoe, it's your people that are. And I just thought that really made me feel good, that it really is a team effort.
And the other thing I wanted to get a little bit at is, you know, how far flung it's become. I mean, you going up there on the ice, that's pretty interesting, you know, if you think about it. Long way from Waitsfield, Vermont.
And the really interesting thing is we're probably known better outside this community than we are inside it. We do have a good reputation nationally, and we sell a lot of boats internationally. I always like the opportunity to go out and experience and see what kinds of things we're dealing with. I've got a wilderness trip planned in northern Canada later this summer, and try to keep up on that as well as visiting some of the international customers. That's important for me. But I think the company, we've worked very hard to keep quality standards, that we want to be the highest quality boat in the industry. And I think we have that reputation. And Vermont is a part of it. I mean, it's people that are craftsmen that care. This isn't a mass-produced type of a product. This whole community here is not a mass-produced type of people. I mean, we really have a pride in what we do. And I think that's very important throughout our business and our personal lives.
I think you got it. See, that wasn't hard. But you really did, unless they give us any problem with noise.
Okay,
I think
good.
That's really
okay,
just
what the kinds of pieces that you need? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it'll just be a small, short piece on the business, but I want to get it
Okay.
I like what you said about
part of the emphasis I'd like to get on. The combination of old, you know, new technology and romance, and then the people are probably the biggest focuses of what has made Mad River Canoe a success.
Maybe I should also ask you, because you mentioned the international scene, when did you really realize, and how did you feel when you suddenly woke up to the fact that, hey, this is going way beyond, or maybe it didn't. Maybe.
I think one of the things that I've learned an awful lot from is realizing that we really are in a global economy. And I realize how isolated I've been. I'm not like the Europeans who can change money real quickly, who can think in different currencies as well as different languages. We are so isolated. And traveling and working in Europe, trying to sell into the different countries, I've learned a lot. And I'm just amazed at how insulated we still are and we continue to be. When I go to Japan, which is a very different cultural experience, and how you really have to work to try and conform and understand to what they're asking. It's we have to relate a lot differently than what we were trained to do and the way we just kind of boldly go through things. I enjoy sailing all over the world. I'd like to spend more time at it.
And you've obviously grown with the business as well. I think I remember you telling me, you know, you didn't even know what a business plan was when you started.
Early 70s, my degree is in geology. I went working in oceanography. No, I wasn't really into business at all. I've gotten a lot of it through small courses, seat of the pants stuff. And now, well, this year I went back to Harvard Business School for a 3-year course. And it's 3 weeks a year for the next 3 years on campus. And it's pretty intense. And it's been kind of fun because it's all the things that you've kind of learned over the years, but now you're putting into a theory and to take it the next level. And that's been really fun. It's an ongoing education.
Okay, well, I think we're
good.
Done. And
okay.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. I haven't heard any bad noises from in there,
no,
so I can't.
No, I think the only other thing is to ask you to sign release. Was that a, oh, we're
yeah,
the
we
other
need to,
thing
I need to get room tone. If we could just
editing.
Sit quietly for just like a half a minute before we
just
start rustling around.
This is really good.
This is K. Henry Wuto.
We were recording his 90-year-old sister and this other guy, he's 86, and he fell asleep while his sister was